I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion. Hello, welcome back to Trash Opinions. This is Trash. My previous video was Borneo. If you did not catch that, the link will be in the description. It will be necessary for understanding my tier list. But without further ado, let's get into Australian Outback.
We got enough rocks here too. We could build a pretty decent shelter just using rocks.
Darien. The line, we can build a decent shelter just using rocks, is one of the funniest things on the entire season. I consider it one of its most iconic moments. Outside of that, she really doesn't have much, but watching her scramble when she realized she was destined to be the first boot was rather impressive, I'm not gonna lie. However, character-wise, being all she did was annoy people and have a hilarious accent, and then Survivor ruined her life, she only belongs in mildly entertaining.
Did you find anything?
How you guys doing? Look, while I was going out there looking for bait for fishing, you guys were talking about that you thought I was eating beef jerky during that. What I had was a blade of grass, and I smushed it up into my jaw, and I was chewing on that. I was just chewing grass.
What kind of grass?
Green grass. Just any kind of grass you can pick up.
How do you know it's not poisonous?
It looks like normal grass, okay? It just looks like a normal blade of grass.
Kel Gleason. Fuck Kel. He allegedly cheated and allegedly lied about it. But he did the most obviously guilty shit when he offered his razor to the rest of the tribe. Why would you offer things to someone if they just accuse you of something you supposedly didn't do? And then he continued lying about it, and that lie is one of the big reasons why Jerry became public enemy number one. Allegedly. I know there's the counter argument of why would he sneak in something and risk his reputation? It's so stupid. But all the evidence points to him totally sneaking beef jerky in. Allegedly. He even got caught at the airport smuggling beef jerky. He's an army intelligence officer. He would know how to sew rations into his clothes. He easily could have thought he wouldn't get caught. The show was in its infancy, and even Jeff had said himself that multiple people have been caught attempting to sneak things like matches in. So why is it so far-fetched that an army officer would think he could get away with a little beef jerky if the average Joe Smo thinks he can? Are those people also not in positions where their reputations matter? I just think that being it was only season 2, he was able to sneak it in without anyone in production knowing, since they probably weren't as privy to it back then. In my opinion, he's a liar, allegedly. He gaslit America into thinking he was an innocent man being falsely accused by the demon evil witch Jerry, allegedly. The worst part of all of this, though, is that he is an uninteresting and boring liar, allegedly. Him as a character is so fucking dull. Rightfully so, the first member of Fox.
What about you, Mad Dog? These all your buddies?
Yes. And Jeff, I trust with my heart. Jeff, I'm conjoined with Tina.
Really?
She is a constellation. And the cowboy. Oh, the poor cowboy has dragged me around so many times.
I'd do it again. You betcha.
I'd do it again.
I'd do it again.
And a very sad Mad Dog.
Marilyn Mad Dog Hershey. Mad Dog is a character that I wish lasted longer or had a return. I feel like she could have done better on a season like Thailand or Vanuatu. Her bond with Tina is very endearing, and she has this hilarious matter-of-fact nature to her. Her taking out her teeth for the gross fruit-eating challenge was also hilarious. I wish she could go higher, but I don't think she leaves as much an impression of the people that are going to be going in great. Which is a weird thing to say for such a classic character. Despite being iconic, she's weirdly forgettable, but she's still a fun character, if a little overrated. She belongs in mildly entertaining for sure.
That definitely took me by surprise. I guess the bright side is I get to eat. And I need to eat. Look at me. Cripes. I feel a little bit betrayed by some of them, but at the same time, I want to shake their hands and congratulate them for pulling the wool over my eyes, because they definitely got me.
Mitchell Olson. Mitchell is a boring, low-energy human being. Also, his boot wasn't explained in the show. Granted, it wasn't exactly the show's fault, since Tina and Colby discussed the plan to blindside Mitchell on the way to Tribal Council when they weren't filming, which caused talking during the walk to Tribal Council to be banned, if you didn't know that. However, it still leaves us with a very forgettable Okakura pre-merger who basically quits the game. Super forgettable. He's going in, man.
Mike caught a pig. He actually caught a pig.
I cannot deal with these people. I cannot. How big of a pig?
It's a little one. And there's going to be a lot of ham and bacon and pork coming up in here. Soon.
What is wrong with you? Sick. We live in a sick tribe.
Kimmy Kappenberg. Kimmy has her moments, and I'm kind of bouncing between putting her in great tier or rootable tier. Watching her deal with being a hardcore vegetarian on Survivor is very uncomfortable, and it creates a lot of tension on her tribe. I sympathize with her, though. It's not easy watching animals die, but at the same time, it's like, girl, you signed up for this. It's Survivor. She wasn't always pleasant, but she was for sure memorable, which is why she got picked for Cambodia later. However, the main thing anyone remembers about her is her explosive argument with Alicia about protein.
Excuse me?
Do you have some kind of a problem?
Yeah, I have a problem with your attitude.
Oh, really? What the hell is up your butt?
What you just said is not true. We should be having protein every day. If we have to
I'm
have the chickens,
saying,
we will.
If you have the chickens here...
Right, you see us going fishing, right?
That's all I was saying. It's a good thing just to break it up, when, especially if
but you are not
you're telling
one
me,
about the chickens.
Don't get emotionally
not
attached
so
to the
do
chickens.
Do not yell at me about the chickens.
I am not getting emotionally
you can get
attached.
As emotionally attached well, if you want.
I think her comparing Tribal Council to going to court was rather humorous, and so is her jumping up and down and saying, I can eat a worm, I can eat a worm. Kimmy has her moments, but ultimately I don't think she's an all-time great character. I kind of groan when I think about her, and even though she is rather iconic, I'll still put her in mildly entertaining like I did with Mad Dog. Michael Scoopin'. Okay, so I was gonna try and go into this judging Scoopin' only on how he is as a character and not who he is as a person, but it's really hard to separate the two. It makes him really hard to look at without not wanting to puke, and I've been sitting here trying to justify even wasting my time and energy analyzing someone who is frankly uncomfortable to watch with 2024 glasses on. Fuck Michael Scoopin'. I shouldn't have to defend feeling this way. I feel like it should be universally agreed with. That fire knew. The fire spirits were like, I know about that USB drive. I am also in the camp that Scoopin' killing the pig with a knife was an incredibly uncomfortable scene that makes me feel sympathetic towards Kimmy. The scene of him falling in the fire is also extremely graphic and not fun to look at. Scoopin' is just fucking gross. And he and his Ponzi schemes can go right into the volcano. Now that was very uncomfortable. I sure hope there's no one else coming up that will conjure up those same feelings of Jeff Varner. Damn it. I don't want to talk about that until the season where I get to rip this man to shreds. So all I will say is... Varner played 3 times and he never made the jury. Varner is not that interesting, but he's this leader figure on Kucha who possibly makes it to the end of the game if Scoopin' is never medevaced and Kucha comes into the merge with numbers, but thank fuck we don't live in that universe. So thank you, Based Kimmy, and thank you, Based Deb, for causing Varner's fun downfall.
Because the only reason why we said it is because we care about your feelings.
Well,
as you're part
but,
of this
you know,
but don't jump
is,
all over me, sweetheart.
Don't wave your finger in my face.
I will always wave my
under
finger
your, under your breath.
You want me to say it in
if
your
you
face?
Yes.
Yes, I will be happy to. I'm saying it to your face
thank
right
you.
Now. I'm tired of you and... fucking chickens.
What have I said about the chickens, though? Nothing. Please. That's the problem.
Alicia Calloway. Oh, my God, finally. Someone on Kucha who is actually awesome. I love Alicia. That entire I Will Always Wave My Finger in Your Face scene is one of the few entertaining parts of the season. Some people will call her nuts for how she blows up on people like Kimmy when Kimmy was actually right. You don't need protein every single day and they should be spacing it out to preserve it. But nope, Alicia explodes. Just the way she reacts to other people's opinions is hilarious. She's so aggressive in arguing her points. She's strong in challenges and in personality. She has this air of don't fuck with me, which is both intimidating and endearing. She's also funny. Her talking about Kucha corn and growing 8 nipples had me rolling.
We're gonna find out, like, somewhere down the road that, like, something was in it, and we're gonna have, like, 8 nipples and laying eggs, and I don't know, but until that happens, I'm gonna keep eating it, because it's so good. It's so good.
She's also really fun to imitate. I'm a big Alicia fan. I feel like she's the best member of the Kucha tribe, and that she belongs in entertaining.
I'm not losing any sleep. I just know that she's thinking ahead. I just want Peter to drop. So.
I'm not saying I'm holding out on making a deal with you to see how this thing plays out. I'm saying there's no sense in even making a deal, because if we go into the merge undermanned, it's all for naught, you know?
Don't worry about it. It's not like you're making a deal with the devil here.
Jerry Mancy. Jerry did nothing wrong. Jerry's hate she received was not warranted in the slightest. She is a fantastic character. She is the OG villain of the series. She is an icon. She is amazing. She is wonderful. I love Jerry. However, this is not even her best outing. She can be kind of uncomfortable to watch at times. Her flirting with Colby, I must admit, makes me want to vomit sometimes. It's so cheesy.
You like crunchy peanut butter or creamy?
Crunchy.
Gotta have crunchy.
Yeah.
Black coffee or cream and sugar?
Cream and sugar.
I'd really like it if Colby and I got together. He's exactly my type. Plus, he's a cowboy, and I'm such a sucker for cowboys.
Cake or ice cream?
Okay.
Oh. Dig ice cream.
I had a discussion with Colby regarding chocolate and how chocolate releases the same endorphins that sex does. And since none of us are having sex, that's probably why we keep reverting to the chocolate discussions.
And the season that made me absolutely love her did not come until much later. However, the cringe is rather hilarious. She's the purest version of herself on this season, where her overbearing critical nature makes the entire tribe hate her. It's hilarious because she really does nothing wrong. She's usually right about things. Just the way she comes off is so negative, and it's so entertaining. She also gives great confessionals. She also has this outgoing energy to her, even when she's complaining about others. They're so candid, and she just really uses the confessionals as a personal diary. She's explicit. Her talking about her sexual fantasy of pouring chocolate all over a hot guy's bod is absolutely iconic.
Right now, I can actually, in my wildest fantasy, picture pouring hot chocolate all over some hot dude's bod and having sex while licking it off at the same time. That's like my ultimate fantasy right now. I think Colby's afraid of me. Because this fantasy I have about chocolate and sex definitely involves him.
She's a lot more strategic than people give her credit for, even if she is a massive goat on the season. But she unfortunately has a bad read on Colby, and she gets blindsided by her own alliance, sadly. She's kind of a punching bag at Final Tribal Council, too. Both Tina and Colby say they would take Jerry off the jury, which is rude. However, even with that, she is still entertaining as all hell, and remembered more than even the winner. So thus, she belongs in entertaining.
Thank you. Thank you. I needed that.
Once you go dark meat, you don't ever go back.
Nick Brown. Sadly, one of the most forgettable castaways on the season. He mostly just exists, but then out of nowhere he will say something hilarious, but at the end of the day, he barely gets any content. He's pretty good at challenges, but gets voted off before that starts to matter. It is impressive, though, how he beat Colby in a one-on-one strength challenge, though. He for sure has his moments, but sadly, he's still going into meh.
Get something going. This is crazy.
Oh my god!
Hey, girls, guess what's for dinner?
Rice!
We're having white rice!
Oh.
Amber Birkich. All she really did was get excited over food and yell about it with Jerry. That's the only things I think she did all season. That's literally all of her content. She was on the bottom of Ogrecore the entire merge and didn't realize it somehow until she was booted. All-star. Definitely meh.
I literally cannot stand like to go up there and just lay around in that hut for 3 or 4 hours. It just drives me crazy. I said, I got to get up and get out of here. I said, I can't stay in this hut laying around.
Roger Bingham. Ah, good old Kentucky Joe. Fan favorite. Cute as a button. The Sonya Christopher of the season, except he actually makes it far. Him and Elizabeth have a cute dynamic, almost like a father and daughter, and they're one of the more iconic duos of old school Survivor. The edit portrays him as having a heart of gold, and it really makes you care about Roger and Elizabeth. They go farther than the rest of Kucha Tribe solely based on being likable. He has this endearing good old boy nature to him, and it's impossible not to root for the guy. He's a target early for his challenge strength, or lack thereof, I should say, but thankfully survives all the way to the final five. In my opinion, he beats everyone on the season if he gets to the end, but I can totally see him giving up his game at the end to let Elizabeth win. The man with the most win equity is also the man most willing to lay down his torch for someone else. As I said before, heart of gold. Squarely and cute.
Keith just said, I'm going to do a little experiment with the brown rice and white rice. I mean, our portions were huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm used to doing this sort of thing. I can assess how much we have. I think he just feels awfully comfortable with the fact that he's going to be one of the final three or two, and he knows the portion sizes will be bigger then.
Elizabeth Filarski. Not as entertaining as Colleen, a total downgrade if you want to compare the two. I get the appeal, but I can't think of a single confessional where anything she ever said stood out to me as entertaining. It's usually just her narrating things that are happening on the tribe. It's nothing really special, but she is appealing. She is cute as a button, and her and Roger's father-daughter relationship is quite adorable, but I also feel like we could have not had Elizabeth on the cast, and we would not have lost much, storyline-wise. Yeah, it's cool how she was saved at the Jerry and Amber vote because Colby and Tina like them more.
I've never in my life met anyone more likable and more lovable. Because you are such a likable person, it is a definite threat.
Five votes, Jerry. That's enough. You need to bring me your torch.
Which is great for her when she comes to player assessment, but she really doesn't have the agency to do anything to benefit her game. Like, she doesn't try to flip over Amber at the final seven, who is clearly at the bottom. But hey, it's season two, so I don't fault her too much. I find it hilarious that Roger laid his torch down for her because she needed the money more, because she would become one of the most famous and successful people post-Survivor, and also marrying an NFL quarterback. Elizabeth, regardless, is still one of the more memorable pre-All-Stars player who didn't end up making that cast, and she is quite iconic. I may be indifferent towards her as a character, but I'll definitely at least put her in cute.
It just would help if you weren't quite so pessimistic about ideas that other people had other than your own.
I wasn't pessimistic. I'm not picking on you about your tomatoes.
You already did on the way here. You said, I don't think that can be bad.
That's good. Well, then this will be good. We got fried green tomatoes.
I don't think it's done yet, Keith.
There's a water right
it looks totally soupy. It needs to sit there till it's dry. It's going to be soupy. You got to let the rice sit.
You can't. There's double the amount of rice that's sticking to the bottom and burning. It's all breaking up, though.
It's because you kept stirring it.
Keith Famey. Some people like Keith, but I think he sucks. He's just bland as hell, and when he actually does have content, it's usually him sucking as a chef or just getting into arguments with Jerry. most of his content is him having a pissing contest with Jerry, and it's so aggravating. It's not interesting in the slightest. They argue and bicker about food, where Jerry is usually proven right. What's hilarious, too, if you look at where they are now, Jerry is a much better chef than Keith. Jerry became a chef while Keith quit being one. It's totally ironic. One thing I need to ask is, though, who the hell proposes over instant messenger?
I can only think of one important question that came to me one night as a shooting star shot across the sky at some wee hours of the morning. Will you marry me, Pete? Oh my God. Hope you're expecting something like this.
Keith being a main face of the narrative later on is a main reason why a lot of the endgame feels so dry and overdone. Keith lacks seasoning on his personality. It puts a bad taste in my mouth, and I think I'm going to spit it out. He's kind of annoying.
Somebody pisses me off, and I'm going to just say, I got to go snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef. What'd you do today?
Colby Donaldson. He may be a lot of things, but he ain't no Hershey bar. I totally get the appeal of Colby. He's charming, good-looking, good old Texan boy who's good at challenges. He's also the entire pulse of the season. And he is one of the few things keeping Australian Outback out of basement tier in my eyes. Like I said with Jerry, this isn't my favorite outing of Colby, but it's the closest he ever got to winning the game, and it's the time he was the main character of the season. He is absolutely hilarious and is surprisingly witty on the season. Sure, he could be an asshole. Him throwing water on Jerry was so petty, but it was also kind of hilarious. But it's hard not to love the guy regardless. He's just so charismatic and beautiful. He has great moments in the entire season. His date with Jerry to the Great Barrier Reef resulted in the great "What did you do today?" line. He's just so iconic and fun. You can easily see why he was the most popular Survivor contestant out of the first two seasons, arguably. He also has a fun immunity run at the end, but it did overrate his challenge ability, though, because it's not like he was competing against the best athletes, mostly old people and petite women. I think his, like, biggest competition was Keith, which is, you know. But it's whatever. Dubs are dubs. It's unfortunate, though, he didn't bring Keith along for that most important dub, though. Colby and Tina's mother-son type relationship is also really endearing, and they're the first duo to completely take over the game. Colby not winning, though, possibly influenced the future trend of the person who won all the challenges not being necessarily the one who should win. I mean, granted, you could argue the same with Kelly, but Colby, unlike Kelly, ran the game with Tina. Tina was just looked at more so as the strategical leader and why she won over Colby. It really showed that the strategical leader is more respectable. Colby is honestly one of the best never to win the game, surprisingly. And he's definitely going into entertaining.
I may be a lot of things, but I ain't no Hershey bar.
You gotta leave it in there.
Stop it! Both of you, or you're going to timeout!
Tina Wesson. I have mixed feelings about Tina. I don't find her to be that interesting of a character on her first season, but I absolutely respect the hell out of her for how good of a game she played on such an early season of Survivor. It's underrated. She mastered the art of being the leader of a tribe without being the obvious leader. She also arguably invented the goat strategy by stringing along Keith, even if it wasn't her intention. She had Colby under her thumb after the Mitchell vote, and Keith was a ride or die from the start. As a narrator, though, she's not the greatest, but I respect her, and she 100% deserved a win over Colby. Tina is a motherly figure on her tribe for the most part, and she knows she's on the outs in the beginning, and she has great social gameplay that keeps her around and eventually in power when she flips over Colby.
There was a little bit of it just wanting to see how strong does Mitch and Colby align with Jerry. And my thought was, if I could get Colby, that would be two of us. And then maybe Colby could talk to Amber. And that would be the only chance that I would have to make it. At this point, I don't have anything to lose.
In my opinion, it's a much more impressive win than Richard's. She may not have been great in challenges, but she didn't really need to be with Colby by her side. The fact that she still beats Colby in the end just shows how good she was, because it was rather shocking that Colby didn't win, honestly. Tina winning was the better ending for the future of the show because it shows you anyone can win Survivor. You don't have to be Aquaman like Richard or Superman without the fat suit like Colby to win. A mom can win, especially an older woman. Considering the track record with older women being voted off early, I mean, look at Mad Dog and Sonya. Her constant mantra of wanting the good people to make it through the game results in some hypocrisy, but luckily she doesn't harp too hard on honor and integrity the way a lot of these "the game could be played ethically" people do. It's corny 100% of the time, though. Survivor is all about being a fake, manipulative piece of shit. Just embrace it. Tina is still one of the most enjoyable people on this season, even if she does make me roll my eyes at times. She's endearing and a good player. Australian Outback is a season a lot of people love, and I get why, even if I find it to be incredibly drawn out and even downright dull and boring at times. It's a classic for sure, but it has the worst parts of old school Survivor in my opinion. It focuses way too much on the survival aspect, which, to be honest, I don't give a single shit about. It's way too long at 17 freaking episodes, and I'm glad they never returned to the 42-day format ever again. Regardless, the cast is pretty good, mostly. Not as great as Borneo, but it has a decent amount of characters that have eventually became mainstays of the series, even more so than anyone from Borneo, with Jerry, Colby, Tina, and even Amber and Varner playing three times each. Alicia, Scoopin, Kimmy would also return, making this cast half future returnees, which is insane. Jerry and Colby will eventually play all three of their seasons together and have this really good arc that concludes in a really awesome way later down the line. There may be stains on the cast in Varner and Scoopin, but at least this was before they became infamous. Next video will be on Africa, which is a season I'm not too crazy about either, but it still has some fun characters on it. It should be coming up soon. Be sure to subscribe if you want to see that, and be sure to check out my Borneo video if you haven't yet. Need some views, need some love. But yeah, thank you so much for watching.